Okay, Cherokee County Senior Services Director, Denise.
Hello, Denise. Hey, Sissy.
Good morning, Donna. How are you today?
Much better now.
I was thinking a few minutes ago, I was complaining about the rain, and then you complain about the sunshine, but you know we should be thankful for it all.
All of it, yep.
And I should not do that. Got to get up being thankful. I've been listening to a gentleman on a podcast, and one of his things is when you wake up in the morning, you should be counting your blessings instead of thinking about what you have to do for the day first. So this guy has been awesome. And so hopefully it makes your day better when you start out on a positive note. So for anybody listening that's having a bad day, think about your blessings. Number one, you woke up. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing, and you're able to breathe. And even if you have health conditions, you need to think about, you know, the blessings that you do have, a roof over your head, just any little thing, and I promise it'll make your day better.
Yep.
It does. One of my blessings that was getting to come to the senior center and seeing my seniors every day, not just mine, there are others, but I just want to remind everybody we're open, we're doing things, we're having activities, we go on trips. All the centers are open, so if you're Andrews, Unaka, Hiwassee Dam, Murphy, we would love to have you come and do things with us. I do also want to thank my volunteers. Without you, our Meals on Wheels program would not be successful. It's not just what we do, it's what you do, and you're volunteering your time. You're taking care of the ones that we don't see on a daily basis. And you know what? We just thank you for that. Thank you for everything you do. Don, I was thinking, too, you know, it's really hard to believe that it's been 2 years since COVID started. Can you believe that?
Yep.
I know it's a long time. Sometimes you think about it, but time goes by really fast. You know, we faced a lot of challenges, you know, especially with our seniors. A lot of things have went virtual. You know, seniors don't have computers. Some of them don't. Some of them do. You know, we've started ordering groceries online. A lot of things have not been positive about it. As you know, we've lost loved ones. People, instead of getting out and coming to things like the senior center and doing activities, they're staying home more, which, you know, also causes social isolation. One of the biggest things that happened in our community, and I know from like a senior standpoint and having members in our church who had families in nursing homes and facilities, is that they were not allowed over this 2 years to do face-to-face visits with their loved ones. That I know, like we had a gentleman in our church and his mother was, he couldn't see his mom. And that was something that he was used to doing every day. He could call, he could check on her, he could look at her through a window, but he was not able to see her. And it was so hard on him. But not only on him, it was also, you know, hard on the facilities because, you know, families come in and they do things. They visit with other members in the facility. They're there and they do a lot of things. They help them do activities. So a lot of that halted just right off the bat whenever COVID hit because you just couldn't do it. Thankfully, over the last few months, CMS has updated their nursing home visitation guidelines, and things are starting to change a little bit. Today, one of my blessings today is I have Miss Anna Rogers with me. She is our long-term care ombudsman, and she serves Cherokee County, as well as she's got 7 western counties and the Koala boundary. She advocates for our residents that are in a nursing home or an assisted living or even small family care homes over these 7 counties and the Koala boundary. One of the things that we are blessed to have with Anna is that she makes sure that our residents' rights are honored and that that our residents that are in these facilities are protected from things like abuse, exploitation, and neglect. And pretty soon we will have the Elder Abuse Walk coming up in June. So this is to make people aware of all the things that can happen. But today I just want to welcome Miss Anna Rogers. Anna, welcome to the radio show here at WKRK.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning. So thank you for inviting me to talk to you today. I appreciate that.
It is an honor to have you. I know I give just a little brief introduction there of the Ombudsman. Is there anything that you want to add to that you may do that I didn't mention? I know you do a lot, but is there anything you would like to add?
Sure, I will. First of all, I would like to say that, speaking of blessings, her name is Denise Cross. And she is definitely a blessing to so many of us and to me and all that she does to advocate for her seniors. And they're not clients, they're her friends and family, and that's the way that she approaches everything. So just wanted to say thank you, Denise, for all that you do. And today, Denise and I just wanted to discuss some long-term care facility and nursing home visitation questions because guidance continues to change. And so as a long-term care ombudsman, I'm there to try to advocate for residents' rights, and one of those residents' rights is visitation. And like Denise said, that was closed down for so long until last November when it was opened up. As an ombudsman, and just like friends and family that would go in to see anyone that they were visiting, you advocate for that person. You may get them a glass of water. You may help them to the restroom. You may say, nurse, you know, something needs to be done, you know, a change of clothes or a different choice of food. And so those are some of the smaller things that we do to help protect the quality of life, the quality of care that anyone receives in a nursing home or assisted living facility or family care home. We have a lot of those that are smaller. So we advocate for residents and their needs. We also advocate for their family and the representatives and their guardians. So we do not work for the nursing homes. We actually fall under the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, which is under the Division of Aging and Adult Services for Long-Term Care Ombudsman. So just some of the ways that we also help advocate. We may listen to residents and family members when they have concerns or issues, explain what their rights are, protect those rights, the health, the safety, their welfare, how to help families learn about nursing homes. I have a list of those for every county. Maybe perhaps how to pay for them, how to access those services, and work through any problems and try to solve those problems along with the nursing home to make sure that we're following state regulations and the laws that protect our residents. So I did want to also mention the Ombudsman. There are about 16 of us across the state, and we have volunteers in every county called Community Advisory Committee members that work alongside the Ombudsman to advocate for and protect the residents. And Denise Cross is actually one of those advocates. Shocker, I know, because that's what she loves to do, and we are so happy to have her. So at some point, we will be in full force back into the facilities to again, help with residents' rights and advocating for those folks. And I am in the facility now, so I am available. So anytime that you'd like to speak with me or Denise or another community advisory committee member, those conversations are always confidential, and we are available in the seven western counties.
And I'll give everybody our numbers at the end. So make sure if you want a number, just get you a pen and paper. And at the end of this, we'll let you know how to get in touch with us. So like I was saying, you know, over the past few months, CMS has changed and updated, or not, they've updated the nursing home guidelines. Can you kind of tell me what CMS stands for and what makes a facility have to go by CMS guidelines?
So we hear a lot of different guidelines. You have CMS guidelines. You have the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services guidelines. Then you have the CDC, and you're like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I follow? So as far as nursing homes, assisted living, family care homes, if they receive Medicare or Medicaid money to pay for a resident stay, then that falls under CMS, which is Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And so if that facility receives that funding and is certified by CMS, then they must follow CMS guidelines. So CMS, of course, also tries to follow CDC guidelines, and then you have North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, who also puts all that together and puts out their own guidelines for North Carolina, and they're also following the CMS guidelines. They're following the CDC recommendations for infection prevention. So that's why we have to follow CMS guidelines, and you'll hear that fairly often.
Okay. So visitation, of course, COVID again did a number on our assisted livings and skilled nursing facilities. And here in Cherokee County, we are very blessed to have, you know, we've got two skilled nursing facilities. I think we've got three assisted livings. I'd like to use acronyms for that, but assisted living facilities. So now that CMS has updated the visitation, is visitation open to facilities?
So visitation did open completely in November of 2021. So now all indoor visitation is allowed at all times for all residents. Again, residents can choose if they want to have a visitor or not. But facilities can no longer limit the frequency or the length of a visit, the number of visitors, or require advanced scheduling of visits, which was what was done before when visitation opened a little bit. You had to schedule a visitation. That is no longer required either. But if the facility is in an outbreak status of a larger number of positive cases, then they work with the health department, and that's when visitation could be limited or scheduling may occur, just so that it's kind of staggered, you know, visitation is staggered a little bit more. And there are some key points, though, when you're talking about visitation is completely open, because there are some rules that still have to be followed. And visits have to be conducted in a way that it still adheres to core principles of COVID-19 infection prevention. And also key is it doesn't increase the risk to other residents. So when it starts to infringe on another resident's rights, that's when there could be some kind of intervention or something that may not be completely open and allowed. So visitors are still screened upon entry. You still have questions to answer. So any visitor who's positive, obviously, or has any symptoms or meets the criteria for a quarantine should not enter the facility. And we can talk more about that with your questions.
Okay. So when you went in, if anybody has been to a facility, you've had to, we've been told to maintain social distance, mask up, wash up. So when I go into a facility, say if I have a loved one in a facility, can I have close contact with my loved one? And if I do I have to wear a mask?
So you can absolutely have close contact with your family member. And, of course, it is if they want to have that. It's still up to them. It's still their right to choose. But you can absolutely have close contact during your visit. So residents and visitors who are fully vaccinated can decide if they want to wear a mask and have physical contact. And guidance strongly encourages all residents and visitors to mask and distance, especially if rates are high in your county, because that's the safest thing to do. And again, we want to make sure that we're doing the social distancing, masking up and washing up. Those are still your basic principles, core of infection prevention. So what most facilities will ask and what guidance says is, if it's possible for you to wear a mask, of course, that you wear that upon entry, that you wear it in the hallway down to your family's room, that you wear it in communal areas. But once you go into the room with your family member, you can take mask off. Again, as long as the roommate is okay with that as well, because a lot of these rooms are semi-private, so you have another roommate. So as long as social distancing can be maintained with that roommate, if that roommate is okay with the mask being off, then that will work. But sometimes, you know, again, it goes back to how does that roommate feel as well. So sometimes the best idea is to have a private area to go to. It could be that room. It could be another private area. So those are just best practices, basically. So,
well, what happens if, let's say, for instance, that I have COPD, I can't wear a mask, or it affects my breathing, mm-hmm. or if a resident is unable to wear a mask due to health issues, are we allowed to, does that have any bearing on this at all?
Well, let me start off by saying that residents do not have to wear a mask while eating or drinking. If they're in their room alone or with their roommate, and when, so if you go to the communal areas, you know, having a mask on the way is best practice. Taking off the mask while you're eating is obvious. But if someone is unable to wear a mask due to a disability or medical condition such as breathing issues, they may still attend the communal activities, but they need to continue to try to physically distance from others to maintain that social distance, so you're not infringing on the rights of the person around you. Okay. So it's more of the key of the social distancing and wearing masks where appropriate, if you can.
Okay. So I think you kind of touched on this, but I know this is kind of a question that I've heard is, mm-hmm. you know, my parent or my loved one has a roommate. Am mm-hmm. I allowed to visit her in the room, you know, instead of if my mom's in the bed and can't get out or my dad's in the bed and can't get out, am I allowed to go into the room while there's another person in the room?
You absolutely can. If the resident cannot leave their room for health reasons, then the facility should try to allow an in-room visitation. But while adhering to COVID-19 infection prevention core principles, which again is hopefully masking and doing the social distancing, because that is their home, their room is their home, and that's where they should be able to visit with friends and family. Again, because it can be a shared room, you want to keep that roommate in mind, and to protect them and not infringe on their rights as well. Of course, outdoor visitation is always preferred because of the flow of the air, but it's not required to when it comes to visitation. So it's a yes. It's just try to follow those infection prevention core principles.
Right. I know, even as a CAC member, a CAC member, you know, we would go to other rooms. So if I have my mother there, and I'm used to going around and, and visiting because, you know, I love people and I like to go in and talk to them. I know a lot of people do that in the nursing homes. If they go see their mother, they may have two or three people within their church, or they may have other people in there. Is it allowed to go from one room to another, visiting like my mom or my aunt, and then go visit a member of my church? So could I, is visitation allowed to more than one person?
And you see, that is kind of a tough question and has been asked a lot. The guidance really suggests that visitor movement should be limited to traveling just to the residence room or to a designated visitation area, and to, you know, possibly communal dining at this time. Even if I go into a facility now, I cannot visit more than two facilities in a day, just in case there is an issue with infection. If I go to a facility, I'm typically only going to see one person. And I would not want to try to visit the next person, the next person. It doesn't mean that I may pick up something while I'm there, but it's possible, and then you have to do your contact tracing. And so we try to limit that, limit the amount of people that it might affect. So if you were to come in, you had no symptoms, you're asymptomatic, you don't have a temperature, you don't have any of the symptoms, so you go through, and then you see this person, and then you see that person, and then the next person. It could be a real problem. And so I know that things are improving right now. And it's not saying no. You can definitely ask the facility. Because if you're wearing a mask and you have your PPE on, they say, you're following guidelines as distancing with the mask. You're wearing, you're using the sanitizer. You can go see other folks, but you just don't want to do that too much or limit it as much as possible. And I think, you know, some facilities are limiting that interaction for safety reasons.
Right. I'm going to do a couple more questions because I know we're running out of time.
Okay.
Another question that's kind of come up and has been able to leave the facility. So, you know, I was used to going in because mom is there, but she's able to maybe go to church with me on Sunday now that our churches are opening back up. If she goes to church and goes with me to church, does she have to quarantine when she comes back to the facility?
So residents who leave a facility for 24 hours or longer should be treated as a new resident almost, or a readmission as recommended by the CDC. But for folks who have left the facility for less than 24 hours, when they return, they should be screened again for signs of symptoms. And I know that they may only be gone for 2 or 3 hours to church, like you said, but they would go through the screening for signs or symptoms of COVID. If it's reported that they had a possible close contact with an individual with COVID-19, they'll be tested regardless of vaccination status and possibly placed in quarantine if they're not fully vaccinated. But if the resident develops signs or symptoms after returning to facility, they would be tested. But basically, if it's under 24 hours, then they do not have to go under quarantine.
Okay. So if let's say my loved one is positive for COVID, am I allowed to visit them if they are positive?
You are absolutely allowed to visit them if they are COVID positive. Again, you want to follow those infection prevention protocols. But anyone who could possibly may possibly test for COVID positive for COVID or are in quarantine already, they can have visitors. These visits should occur in the resident's room. The resident should wear a mask, but these visits are allowed But guidance does note that they're not recommended until they come out of the quarantine, which is shorter time frame now, more like 5 to 7 days than it was before. It was like 10 to 14 days. But visitors, as long as visitors are made aware of the risk of visiting in these situations and the resident understands the risk, those are some of the conversations that have to be had.
Okay. And again, if I'm refused a visit, like if I go, I'm fine, there's not an outbreak mm-hmm. in the facility, but if I'm refused a visit with my loved one for any reason, what do we do? What steps would we take if we are refused a visit to see a loved one?
If you are refused a visit with a loved one, there should be a very good reason. This should be in a large outbreak status, because visitation, again, is open. And all facilities, positive cases are coming down. We're hopefully on that downward roll. So if for any reason you refuse a visit, I would speak with someone at the facility that is a decision maker. But you are also always welcome to give me a call, and I'll give you my number. If everyone has a pen, I'm going to give you my direct line, and it is 828-339-2223. Again, I would speak with the facility first to find out why you're being denied a visit, and if there's still an issue, please give me a call.
Okay. Well, I definitely want to thank all of our ALFs, our assisted live-ins, our long-term care facilities, Murphy, Valley View, and even we probably have others listening in tri-state areas. I know that they have went above and beyond over the last 2 years during COVID. I know this has been challenging. It's been a learning experience for everyone. We've had to change the way we do basically almost everything. So I do want to thank them. I don't ever want them to think that they are not, we're blessed, very blessed to have them in our county. And as always, please, if anybody has any questions, I'm going to give the numbers one more time. I want to give my number, and I'm also going to give Anna's number. I want to thank Anna for coming on today. I know this has been awesome, and I know that everybody's enjoyed it. And Donna, thank you for everything. And I'm going to give our numbers one more time. I know we're out of time, but to reach me at the Senior Center, my number is, of course, 828-837-2467. Again, that's 828-837-2467. And to reach Anna, her main line, her direct line to her would be 828-339-2223. Again, 828-339-2223. And like she said, the first place to try is to talk to the administrator at the facilities. If you don't get what you need, always call one of us. If you call me, I'm going to get you in touch with Anna. But that's what we're here for. And if anybody has any questions, please feel free to call either myself or Anna, and we'll be happy to walk you through what needs to be done. Miss Donna, I think that's
yes,
it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Great
Have
information.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.